菩萨，那么佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami。Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. Here commence the Pali chanting. Oh, okay, there's one more item to offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Come, me, sit. Oh, you are sitting there. Okay. Is your mom here? Your mom? Oh, okay, okay.But she at home, huh? She's at home. Oh, good, good. We will wish her well-being and good health others. Okay. So, turn to page 1. Then we will commence the Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhasaNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang GacchamiSanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchamiTatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadam SamadhiyamiNow we are chanting Patipa Puja, offering of light. Page 3, then to page 3. Ganna sarappa ditena, ditena tamatangsina, tiloka dipang sambuddhang, pujayami tamonodang, ganda sambarayutena,Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasaSiri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumenanena Punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang Pang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasaba wang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration, based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. We are on page 5. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. There is another item to be offered. I think the grapes from Yunchang. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Oh, got two more items. Come, come. Sadhu. I can put it there. No, put it there. No, no, yeah. Okay, sadhu. The other one can put here. Come. Let's rejoice one more time. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. So this is his puja offering, and it's a very important devotional practice that the Buddha recommended, actually. Yeah. So we call it the puja offerings. Means we not only offer to the altar, we offer to Triple Gem. Yeah. So through our understanding, we not only develop generosity alone, we also develop a lot of other related goodness and kindness. And based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering, like just now we chant, we make the aspiration for all these offerings to have the causes and condition to help you progress along the path of Dhamma and develop a lot more wisdom, understanding and wholesomeness. So these are all very useful understanding. So for those who still maybe have not developed the clear understanding, you go back, read through, so that you understand, so that when we partake in all this puja, you will get to develop the clear understanding to reap the most out of whatever you do. You do with understanding, your merits, your wholesomeness will be a lot more as compared to when you don't quite understand, then you just follow. There's a lot of goodness too, but not as extensive as the cultivator who has the understanding. When you have the understanding, you have the faith. Your saddha is very strong and you determine to do all this because you know it paved the way for a lot of goodness, wholesomeness and good condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma and become a much better living being or human being, so that you can develop all of the virtue, goodness and kindness via all this wisdom that can arise through this puja offering. Then when you meditate, it becomes a lot easier. Then when you put to cultivation also, all these merits, they will support you. All this aspiration, they will support you. They will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to progress with ease along the path of cultivation and the Dhamma. Okay, now we will go for meditation. We are off the light, then you can straight away start your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who still need instruction, I will just give you some very brief instruction. You're supposed to read up on the books and listen to the recording to develop the understanding. Anyway, today I will give you a short instruction so that you know how to relax body and mind. Initially, maintain a very relaxed body and mind. You just silence everything. Calm yourself down. Allow the thought to arise. Do not resist. Do not do anything. Just let it be. Then tell yourself you are here to meditate. You are here to develop the inner peace, inner well-being, and inner mindfulness. To be aware. To meditate. And to do that is very simple. Make sure you have a stable posture that can allow you to sit without much movement. Then relax completely, physical body and mind. Relax means do not hold any problem or burden. Whatever thought arises that wants to distract you, you just tell the thought, not now, after the meditation, I will attend to it. For the time being, allow me to have the space to develop the training of the mind to meditate. Then the mind will be more relaxed. Then after that, you just silence everything. Then feel your body. Try to relax your body. If you cannot do it, then we will give you a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method. You sweep your mind through, starting from your forehead down. You just feel and relax. No more thinking. So close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel. Don't think, just feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Relax into every mind state that you come upon. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles are quite tired. So you just feel it and again relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then sweep it down to your facial muscle, just feel it. Every strand of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Feel yourself completely relaxed and silent. Feel. Then visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Smile. When you can smile, there is a lot of joy. There is a lot of happiness. So this radiant smile will allow your facial muscle to relax very naturally. Because when you radiate a radiant smile, that joy within your heart will relax your facial muscle. You will feel good. Then you radiate love and metta towards your body and mind. You can follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, each and every cell, your entire being. You can repeat. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May its mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can visualize your loved ones. Could be your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sister, or your good friend. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free of all harm and danger, free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta or love to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity of SS2, known or unknown, seen or unseen, and all fellow Kayanamitas or meditator or cultivator, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, our entire universe. May all beings within the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all, to be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they all to keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just feel. Feel, relax. Feel and relax into every strand of your facial muscle. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart or chest area. Just relax every part. Feel and relax into it. You can feel your vibration within your heart area or your heartbeat. You just relax everything and silence your mind and just stay there. But if you are new, you cannot be so sensitive. It's okay. Then you can just feel like you feel your forehead. Then relax into it. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it and relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, relax. Your abdomen, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole thing. Leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. And move your attention up to your abdomen. Silence everything. Feel, relax. Then your stomach, do the same. Feel, relax. Then move it up to your heart or chest area. Feel, relax every part of it. Feel it soothingly, relax. You feel peaceful and calm when you're at the heart. Then you just relax everything and stay there. Then you can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. You just silence everything and just stay there. Feel it soothingly, peaceful and silent. If you are new, then it's okay. You continue to sweep it out, feel, relax every part of your chest muscle. Then move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, do the same. Feel every strand of it, then relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then your eye muscle, do the same. Feel, relax every part. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you just relax, silence everything, don't do anything. Then maintain the breathing. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Silence everything and feel your breath. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your breath. Then I will teach you another meditation technique called Anapanasati. Anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is to stabilize your mindfulness, your silent mind, your peacefulness of mind that you have developed through your mind sweeping method. So you just silence everything and just feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Means your awareness, the mind and the breath move as one. In perfect harmony and synchrony. Every time the mind wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. If you are new, it tends to wander off many times, but don't worry. Every time it wanders off, you just calmly, patiently bring it back. Not long, if you are patient, the anapanasati will come. Once you are able to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath, then it will start to stabilize your mind. You will start to experience a type of peace They call it the spiritual calmness or spiritual peacefulness, which they call piti in Pali. Piti is a spiritual calmness born of mindfulness. So when piti arises, you will feel good. There's a joy inside. They call it the spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, or spiritual rapture of mind. You feel very good. So you just continue to train. Then as piti arises, you continue to relax into it and maintain the mindfulness until it transforms to become more refined. Then you will experience a more refined state of mind, which they call sukha. Sukha is more refined than piti. It's spiritual blissfulness of mind. Your mind will become very blissful. It's not only calm, there's a type of bliss within. The blissfulness is a very intense bliss. Yeah. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything, until that mind becomes very quiet, very still. We call that paucity. Paucity is the meditative mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind that is in full awareness. It's not in a conditioned state, it's just a free mind with a very stable mindfulness. But because the mindfulness has become more refined, that's why there is no movement of mind. The mind becomes like very quiet, very peaceful. They call it tranquility or stillness of mind. The mind becomes so tranquil and still. And that is the point of meditation that we try to develop. And this is the meditative mind that can meditate. So I will let you train your mind to develop this. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atragacantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditato Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Today is the 29th March 2017, Tuesday. Okay, we're supposed to have our Diamond Sutta class, but for tonight, I think I will change it to just some simple Dhamma sharing, yeah? Because this is something that is very useful. We are just now, I think, brother, just give me a minute, I talk to this person. He has been trying to call me, don't know how many times. Sorry about that. So at least we got it resolved. In life, everything you have to develop the understanding to resolve it. Otherwise, they keep on calling. This one is regarding the annual insurance. Now I remember. I think Freddie and Alicia's friend. So he's up and due, I think. But I don't need because the traveling, the 1 year one, I think not suitable for us. So every time I need to travel, I take the insurance there and then easier, so that anything happen, they will deal with it. Okay. Just now I was trying to tell you all, there is a more important aspect of Dhamma that I would like to share tonight. Because before we start our class today, I think Brother Chai, the Wei Chi, this one is Chi, Wei Chi. He came early, today he came very early. Then he had a short discussion with me. Then I told him, don't worry, the Dhamma is very simple, because he's very new. And he said he got some minor, not really that serious life issue, and they call it the problems of life. I say nothing to worry, you are not the only one. There are a lot other living beings who also have similar problem. So this topic, I feel, is a very important topic that we need to develop deep understanding. So for his benefit and also the benefits of other Kayamitas. Because when you understand this, you can help your loved ones, you can help your friends and other people who have similar problem or issue to develop the clear understanding. And I told him it's very easy. Actually, I just talked to him for about 20 minutes. He felt so much better after that. So let us zero in on this aspect of the teaching, the Dhamma, so that we can be of blessing, great blessing to all of humanity that has suffering and need help. Okay, Jin Hao, help me rub the whiteboard. Keep the circuit and the four, the rest you can rub for me. Just now I was about to rub, I finished the first line, then the alarm for meditation to stop rang. Thank you. So today we will not touch on Diamond Sutta, but we will go direct into the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. Basically, as we all know, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is, what is it? What is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? What is it? The whole of his teaching come from where? That is the essence of his teaching. So, Four Noble Truth, we have to start from there. Okay. It is also like a revision for those who already have been here for quite a while. Okay, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truth. And what is this Four Noble Truth? Basically, it's the secret of life, isn't it? essence of the Buddha's teaching. Four noble truth. And this one basically is the secret of life. Because like I always explain, all of life, whether mundane or supramundane, they are all summarized into just four simple truths, which are very, very powerful. And the Buddha called it noble truth, and not any other truth, is because noble ones in the time of the Buddha, they are called the enlightened one. Enlightened ones are called noble ones because they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They have very noble qualities in them. They are very noble in their understanding of life, in the way they communicate, they carry themselves, their character, their personality, their goodness, their kindness, their virtue. So in that aspect, these are the truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called noble truth, not any other truth. A lot of people question, where I came across one American Buddhist group who had a global network. They discussed this topic. Why did the Buddha call it noble truth, not universal truth or special truth? So they were arguing. Then finally, luckily, because of my understanding, I was able to share with them this particular aspect of truth. Jin Hao. Need to help me to clear. Otherwise, it stick to the pen. Here, a bit more. Sorry. Thank you. It's a rubber band. So we have to understand why the Buddha call it noble truth. That's why the meditation that the Buddha taught is the fourth noble truth, which is noble eightfold path. So if you want to become noble ones, enlightened one, you must have the quality of the noble eightfold path. That's why noble eightfold path is the meditation. And the reason why we call it the secret of life is because within this four noble truth, he can summarize all of life, whether mundane or supramundane, into just four simple but very beautiful noble truths. That all of his teaching spin off from here, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. And from here, because this is the secret of life, if you understand this teaching, the four noble truths, you will understand life. Then you will know how to live life. Then all of your problems of life will cease to be. Okay? That's the clear picture of how powerful this teaching is. Then the Buddha expounded the first noble truth. And this first noble truth is very simple. He just proclaimed to you first noble truth. He said there is a noble truth that explain to you clearly what suffering is. So he called it the noble truth of dukkha or suffering. So dukkha is a Pali word. Noble truth of dukkha. Or suffering. That's why he said this world is full of suffering. Prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. If you don't have wisdom, if you don't understand his teaching. And this one, I often refer it to as the realities of life and existence. Realities of life and existence. The Buddha summarized all of the realities of life and existence into just 8 realities. And according to the Buddha, he said, if you go through life, you live long enough, you will have to confront this first noble truth, realities. And there are 8. The first 4, I think we, as Chinese, we have heard them very often, but we didn't have the understanding during the early years. Because Chinese don't like to even talk about this 4 thing or mention about this 4 thing. It is birth, old age, sickness, and death. So this topic, most Chinese, by culture, they try to avoid. They dare not confront, but they know it leads to suffering, misery. Yeah. So this first 4 reality, the Buddha said, if you live long enough, you will experience birth. And birth itself is suffering, he said. You have to reflect on it, contemplate. How come it's suffering? Whereas for normal living being, the birth of a newborn child is in fact a happy occasion. They look forward to the new moon, the full moon, and all those things. Then they look forward to have their children, the first child, their grandchildren, and all this. But the Buddha went deeper into all this. He said, when things go your way, it may appear to be a happy occasion. But when there is problem or complication during birth or after birth, then it's a different scenario. Then instead of a happy occasion where you celebrate, it can become a miserable occasion where there is a lot of sorrow, lamentation, suffering, and misery. Yeah. So similarly, the moment there is birth, the Buddha said, you will have to experience aging, means getting old, going through old age, then experience sickness, disease, and ultimately death. And this can be very traumatic, as most of us no longer young, we have gone through life, we will come to understand this reality even clearer and deeper. Then the next 4 is even more traumatic. The 5th one, the Buddha said, when you are separated from your loved ones, or separated from your possession, wealth, things that you hold on to dearly. Separation can happen in many ways. The first way is through death, and death can happen in many ways too. Of course, natural death is okay, but accidental death, premature death, death caused by nature's disaster, earthquake, tsunami, building collapse, car accident, plane accident, and nowadays even snatch thief, kidnapping, and all those things, it can bring about death. And of course, accident is the number one killer. Yeah? Then disease, sickness, and there's a lot of traumatic disease nowadays that can bring about very, very fast death. Yeah? It doesn't mean that the life expectancy of an average human being nowadays could be 75 or what. You will get to live to 75. Some may not. And in fact, some may even succumb at birth. Then after that is your career, your wealth, whatever you have. If there's an economic crisis, you make the wrong call, you make the wrong decision, you can lose everything. So during economic crisis, when things are not so easy, many living beings or human beings who make the wrong call or in the wrong situation or industry, they can be just wiped off. And when it happens, life can be very miserable, traumatic and other things. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. Those who are working for people under employment, they will experience that. Then sometimes even within the family, your in-laws, it may not be so easy for you to coexist. Then step-parents, step-mother, step-father and other things. Then even in the school, the kids are not exempted from the gangster, child, what they call child abuse. And also, within the school, you also have problem with gangsterism and all those things. Then forced separation due to poverty, due to war and all those things, or riots, you are separated. Then the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like, especially people who are not easy for you to deal with, like your neighbors. Certain neighbors are not so friendly. Then some of your colleagues. Then sometimes even your own spouse, your own loved one. There is tremendous fear. There is tremendous harassment and all those things. Then even in the career field, they call it sexual harassment and all those things. Then the seventh one is the most frequent. When your expectation in life are not met. When you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. So the seventh one is your daily unhappiness. Every moment, every instant, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Your mental hindrance, the first two, sensual desire and ill will. This one keep on happening because you want things your way. When things don't go your way, you become unhappy, miserable, afflicted. And that's how the mental hindrance come about. The duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. It's your reaction of mind that trigger of this suffering. And if you do it until it's so habitual, throughout the day you arise them, you will have no peace. You will have a lot of negativity of mind states. That's how living being become heedless. That's how living being develop more and more unhappiness, leading to suffering, misery, finally depression. Then the Buddha said, in short, the final summary, that is meditation. The eighth one is the final summary. And this one you need to meditate. He said, in short, all the first seven suffering or dukkha comes about because of the last one. He summarized all of suffering. It is due to your ignorance or self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this so-called five aggregate of form and mind, the human being. That he called suffering. So this one, attachment, to this five aggregates of form and mind is dukkha. This final summary is very important. And this is what we need to develop the understanding. So like I mentioned, whatever problem you have in life, just like what Brother Chai Wai Chi, call him Chi easier, Brother Chi, he didn't really mention, but roughly I can understand because of his condition. Then I heard a little bit from Elsie, and because of what happened at the retreat, which was a blessing in disguise, I told you. He came in, he wanted to apologize. I said, you don't worry. These are very common things. But what we are more concerned at that time was his safety. So that's why we did what we had to do. But finally, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, and it turned out well. Then he was finally back to his home safely, even though he missed the balance of the days of the retreat. But it's meant to be, because you need to understand this first, so that you can take care of your life, then make a difference to your life, see it for yourself, so that your faith can be strong. Then after that, you can become a like new person. They call it a reborn Buddhist, a truly transformed Buddhist. And this is what we are trying to develop the understanding today. So this first noble truth of suffering, which is the realities of life and existence, is what human suffering is all about. So all of your problems, like you all call it the problems of life, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, separation problem, or whatever problem that you have, you try to check, it's always one of the eight reality. It will never be apart from this eight. So this is what the teaching is all about. If you confront all these eight realities in life and you call it a problem, then what will happen to you? What will happen to you? You cannot solve it anymore. You say it's my problem. The personality is dragged inside there. Then he said, this is my problem. I have to do something about it. Means you perceive what happened with negativity. You understand? Otherwise it won't become a problem. But to me, there is no problem in life. But this statement is very difficult for normal human being to understand and accept. To me, everything that happened is... What is this word? What is this word? What is this word? It's a reality, isn't it? Whatever that happened in life, that is the reality. Like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained, it has a lot to do with karma. It has to be this way. We have causes and conditions like that. It has to be this way at this moment. So this is the reality. If it's the reality, I have to develop the clear understanding to what must you do? You cannot deny this reality, isn't it? So what must you do? Accept. If I can have the wisdom to accept this, because it's a reality, then what happened? It's no more a problem. You understand? Because this is just one of the realities of life, like I explained to Brother Chi just now. I say not only you. This is a common problem for all of humanity. All of living beings who live life, they have to confront this reality. That if you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, you will perceive in negativity, then you will become afflicted, miserable, and suffer. Because you perceive it with negativity. And you don't want to resolve it. You don't want to develop the understanding to make a clear decision and move on. You prefer to hold on to it, worry about it, complain about it, get angry over it, and becoming miserable over it. That's how suffering comes to be. And it becomes more and more strong. And this negative thought process that you build up through your lack of understanding create affliction, create suffering in your mind. So first thing first, whatever happened, don't panic. Don't create mental negativity. The Buddha called it the evil roots. Once you accept, you don't panic. Understand not? Don't panic. You don't worry. Then you don't create negativity of mind. mind states. When you accept, you don't stir your mind, you don't react, you don't create all this wrong thought. These are all called wrong thought. Then what happened? You are at peace, isn't it? But I accept. I don't complain anymore. I don't panic anymore. I don't react anymore. Then I act. After that, I act. If I can accept what happened, because I understand that this is one of the realities of life. Let's take for example. Health problem, okay, or relationship problem with our spouse, our loved one, or even our office colleagues and all those things, or your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Yeah. Then also you have maybe career related problem, police case and all those things, yeah. Financial problem and all other type of life related problem. Yeah. Let's say you make a mistake, you become a police case. Then they threaten to charge you and all those things. To me, it's still a reality. If it's a mistake that I have done, I have to confront it. I have to accept it. I have to develop understanding to overcome it. Then when I act with understanding or wisdom, which is act with wisdom or understanding. And this understanding comes from the teaching. And this one is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay. So this one is Noble Eightfold Path. If I use this, all problems will be resolved. Because Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, is the teaching. It is the advice of the Buddha. Basically, Noble Eightfold Path, they are all noble path factors that make you very noble, very virtuous, very wise, very caring, very beautiful. Yeah. Your character, your personality, you are incapable of negativity. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And you have beautiful mind states. You are incapable of negativity, of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, this action is called pure action. Pure action. Action born of wisdom, no delusion. So this is the first part that I want to zero in. From here, then you can solve your whatever life situation or you call it problem very easily. Then we have to come next to the teaching itself. Under Noble Eightfold Path, the way we act, the first path factor is right view. There are three right views or right understanding of life and existence. Right views. There are three. Yeah? First one is right view regards to law of karma or karma niyama. Second, law of mind or the dependent origination or dwelling, yeah? But it's just a mupada. Then the third one is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is the law of truth. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So starting with this three right view, we will have to zero in our cultivation. The first right view is the most important, the law of karma. That's why the Buddha began with that one. He said, you have to understand this spiritual law is very powerful. Under the five daily contemplation, which is also inside our chanting book, you turn to page, I think 17, if I'm not wrong. Yes. Page 17, you have to reflect. Five daily contemplation. The first four is related to the first noble truth reality for you to develop the wisdom to overcome birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then separation from loved one and prized possession. Then also whatever wealth that you have, all this. When you reflect and contemplate with understanding, then you will develop the wisdom. Then when you confront them, you need not suffer. So the first three is related to our physical body. The Buddha said this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, finally. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Where this body is not you, elements, goes the way of nature. That's why you cannot be deluded by it, deceived by it. You should not deludedly cling, grasp and hold, thinking that this body belongs to you. If you believe this body belongs to you, you have a problem. Because you will fear this body getting old, getting sick and one day die. And all this can be very traumatic. So this first four, contemplation is to deal with the first noble truth reality. The fourth one is all of our loved ones, wealth, property and other prized possession, etc., which we held on to so dearly, they will all one day separate from us, or we will separate from them when our breath stops. Yeah. And your breath stops means your identity erased. So separation is a reality. So if you can understand this now, don't have to wait till when it happens, then you will not be afflicted. You will not be sorrowful. Yeah. So this first four we have gone through. You just go back and read through to develop the clear understanding. Because every day you have to reflect, the Buddha said. So that it becomes a part of your understanding. Then when you confront them, it will not affect you anymore. But the last one is the one that I want to zero in. The Buddha said, each and every one of us, including all living beings, not just human beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is the great law of karma. Since karma is so important, we must all take care of our karma. We are avoiding all evil, do good, and purify our mind. To develop a strong karmic nature that can help bring about the good life every time we come or choose to come. Choose to come means you already have the understanding, you can come based on your understanding. But have to come means you got no choice. Law of karma bring you back and you have to take birth after birth. That's why they say you will have to go through samsara for eternity. Until your mind liberate, until you become enlightened. So this is the right view that you have to understand. Then you have to frequently contemplate and recollect. And based on this, the Buddha said, since karma forms such a great part of your life, because you are born of it, you inherit everything, heir to it, and you are conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are every moment, every instant, because of that law of karma. So you have to take care of karma. Otherwise your life will become miserable. So in order to understand life, that's why I call it the secret of life, is because of this. If you understand that life has this reality, you must have this understanding to confront them and to understand that they happen because of your karma, nothing else. And to free your mind is so easy, the Buddha said. You don't have to be a super normal human being with a lot of great meditation. No. You only need to understand this teaching. Well, this teaching is very simple. Nothing esoteric. Each and everyone who has the condition to understand this teaching will know how to live life. They will know how to choose. They will choose to be happy. They will not choose to be miserable. So like Sam Renacci was trying to share and discuss, then he realized one thing. Because he didn't understand this teaching, he couldn't understand that all these are realities of life and problem. It's like to him, all these are problems that he cannot resolve. He said, like in a maze, cannot see, don't know where to start, don't know where to move. And this is very common among living beings. That's why nowadays there are so many psychiatric patients. People with depression going to see psychiatrists. And they call it, what type of doctor? What type of doctor they call? Psychiatrist, yeah. But there's a name in there. What you call it? In our Chinese dialect, we call it what? 精神科. In English, it's called what? Mental patient. You go and see mental patient, mental doctor, 精神科. So a lot of people felt like very difficult to face that fact, and they always like try to avoid letting people know. You realize that? Because they are very, very shy to allow this thing to become like public news. Where people will say, hey, that guy, you be careful, no? He go and see psychiatrist, he got mental problem. So in the past, I realized it's very difficult for people to even discuss this or be frank about it. Yeah. Nowadays, I don't know, maybe it's more common. As society become more sophisticated, this type of thing is becoming more problem. More common. We are in the States, very common or no? Almost everybody has this type of problem. In one way or other, most Westerners, they have been to psychiatrists before. Any small thing, the school will advise you, the university will advise you, your doctor will advise you. But Asia, less. We don't have this type of understanding yet. Because there, they have, I don't call it progress, they have more of these cases, which has become like common practice. And they got a lot of, they call it counseling. They start with counseling. They use a better word. Is it? You go for counseling first. And then after that, they will recommend another specialist, then another specialist. Then you end up seeing all those psychiatrists and all those things. If they are good, they can help you to a certain extent. But most of these, they never root out the problem, I realize. They try to help you through medication, through logical reasoning. And I find it, most of the time it relapses. And most of them only initially like partial relief. But then as they become more and more dependent on the drug. But these drugs are like, it's like to help to boost your certain type of hormones that are lacking. Like when you have anxiety, panic attack, fear, they know it's because of certain deficiency of certain type of hormone. Then they give you that type of medication to stabilize it. But it's like drug. you become dependent. If you don't eat, when the panic attack comes, the anxiety comes, because this is fear, trigger off through your lack of understanding. You cannot cope. That's why I realize a lot of these patients who has this problem, after they come and talk to me, initially they never tell me all this. But finally, later on when they understand, they will start to tell me. Actually, I have seen many psychiatrists, and they give me all this type of thing, is it? Like you say, become dependent. And once you don't take it, you cannot. You just cannot cope because it's too intense. So you have to bring your medication and all this thing. But then after they came out, they realized it is because the lack of understanding. If they had this understanding, they say, they would have not fallen into depression. They would have developed the understanding to clear it, to overcome it. The main problem comes from the lack of understanding to accept this as a reality of life and existence. You can accept this as a normal reality that each and every living being has to confront. Then it becomes simple, no more a problem. Like just now I explained to Brother Chi. I say, based on this understanding, what must we do? We have to take care of karma, okay? To take care of karma, we have to follow the advice of the Buddha. So far, can follow. Very easy, right? What is the advice of the Buddha? To avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And this is to take care of karma. Because karma is, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seeds of evil, which are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You will reap the fruit of evil. Karmically, you will fall. You will have suffering, misery. Yeah, it makes you evil. When you are evil, you yourself become miserable. And your action, your speech, and your thought process, they are evil, roots of all evil. You will hit out at others, and you will cause fellow living beings a lot of suffering, misery. And the law of karma is, you reap what you sow. The fruition, when it come back, people will cheat you back, deceive you back, create all the suffering that you have inflicted on people back to you. So all this is cause and effect, moral causation. So if you want to have the good life, you want people to be good to you, to be kind to you, to be caring towards you, to love you, you must have this understanding. You must love people. You must care for people. You must have goodness, kindness, sincerity of mind. And you must have all the virtue in you. Generosity, honesty, sincerity, gratitude, contentment, respect. All these are very important virtues. When you have this virtue, you will become a transformed person, character-wise, personality-wise. And when you are kind to people, good to people, have love and care for people, in return, the fruition of it, when you come in future, people will be kind to you, people will provide for you, care for you, love you, understand you. And all this is just understanding this nature's law. So, coming back to the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, what did the Buddha advise? What did the Buddha advise? Out of love and compassion for you, living being, or fellow Buddhists, what must you do? To avoid evil, what must you do? Every puja you do. How do you avoid evil? Every puja you renew, If you don't take care of your precept, you are going to commit evil. Because those who violate this precept, they are evil people. And the first precept is what? We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living being. If you do this, you become evil, understand? People will harm you back, kill you, and do all these things back to you. And who kill? Who harm? Greedy people, selfish people, deluded people, angry people, violent people. All the three evil roots are there. The next precept is the same. If you steal, misappropriate, cheat, deceive, in future people will cheat you back, deceive you, take advantage of you, and do all those things back to you. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then make sure you don't do to others. But this is a nature's law. So people who violate this precept, they are greedy people, selfish people, deluded people. The evil roots are there. Sexual misconduct, the third precept, is the same. The fourth precept, telling lie, wrong speech, is the same. People with the evil roots, and these are evil. When you speak harshly, scold people, say bad things behind people's back, backbiting and all those things, make fun of people, frivolous speech and all those things, then tell lie. So all this lead to karmic negativity. And you can feel the effect when there is condition for it to happen in future life or even the same life. Then when it happens, how will you feel when people cheat you, deceive you, speak harshly and angrily in front of you, curse you, hate you, and do all those things, and backbite behind you? If that is not what you want, then you have to maintain your precept. When you maintain your precept, you start to have goodness, kindness, where you are avoiding all evil. Avoiding all evil means what? You are not harming people anymore. Do you understand? This is a very important aspect of life. If I don't harm, I don't cheat, I don't kill, I don't deceive, I don't do all those sexual misconduct, all those things, I'm a blessing to all of humanity, understand? Where I'm incapable of negativity. Then the friction of it is karma-wise. I will not be cheated, I will not be harmed, killed, taken advantage of. I will not meet up with all those people who deceive and cheat. Sometimes you don't understand the law of karma. Like when you are a doctor, if you are not a professional doctor, if you are even lawyer, or even any profession, even my profession as an engineer, or as an accountant, you are not ethical. What do? You cheat people, you take advantage of people. Then you become like quack doctor and all those things. You are motivated by profit and money. In future, when you come, you become the victim. You will go and see all this. Well, last time you were all this, cheating people, deceiving people. Now you become victim, you go back, and you will meet up with the same quack doctor that the unprofessional people that cheat and deceive. But this is what you do to people. So understanding this fundamental law of karma is the beginning of changing your life, transforming your life, creating the condition for you to turn around from your miserable suffering in life back to a very different type of life, which is the complete opposite of what you do. In the past, you are heedless because you don't understand this teaching. You simply do things. You violate all of nature's law, the moral, spiritual law of karma. And because of that, you hardly keep your precept. And because of all this heedlessness, law of karma, when it hit back in the form of friction, you will suffer, you will become miserable, you reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the seed of the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness, goodness and kindness. And this is a very powerful nature's law. So like I told Brother Chi, to change your life, to improve your life, is very easy. from now onward, don't harm people, don't cheat people, don't kill, don't deceive, don't do all those things that can cause suffering and misery to fellow living beings. Then also learn to love yourself, not to harm yourself, hurt yourself. Your thought process, which is endowed from nature through the law of karma, karmically conditioned to this world, you have a physical body, a form, and a mind. These are your vehicle and tool to come to this world. So use it with understanding. Use it for the good of the many. Do not abuse it. Like your thought process, it's like a tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to do what you want to do in this life. So make use of it appropriately to arise all of the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood to bring about goodness, kindness, love, compassion, and understanding so that you can live the good life, so that you will reap the fruition of this good action, good speech, and good thought process. All this is what the law of karma is all about. If you don't do this, if you use the thought negatively to cheat, to deceive, to hit out at people, and to cause your own mental suffering and misery through projecting your thought to arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, means you don't understand this teaching. You use your thought wrongly. It's like a knife, eh? Knife for you to cut fruit, shape fruit, vegetable, all those things, or do your carving. And there is a correct way of using that tool, which is the knife. But when you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others, is that the right way to use that tool? It's definitely wrong, isn't it? But human being, living being, is precisely doing that, using their thought to hit out at others, to make themselves miserable, to make themselves so sad, so sorrowful, so full of grief, until so depressed. Like last time, I remember Alicia, when I explained this wrong thought, she straight away like wake up. Then she checked, you know, the 16 years of depression, she has been creating all this wrong thought. Then she realized, last time, because I don't understand, I keep on arising this strong thought. The thought will create the projection for you to think that way. You know, you will have a lot of negativity. Why my brother don't help me? Why my own sister don't help me? My friend also come and help me. So this type of negativity, you know, then you develop the anger, the hatred towards them, not knowing that all these are wrong thoughts. But if you have right thought, means what? You appreciate life. You appreciate what your loved one has done for you, how they have sacrificed for you. That's why simple virtue and quality of mind state can turn the whole thing around. When you are appreciative of life, appreciative of what people have done for you, means you don't think selfishly anymore. You think on behalf of your loved one, like how your children has brought you happiness, joy in life, how they can be a great family member if they also have this understanding. It has to start from home. When you have goodness, kindness, when you start to change, they can feel you. Then there is less negativity because you no longer argue, react, project your thought and become emotional. So all this is the beginning of change. The moment you start to change, you will create all the good condition for wholesomeness to arise. Then the other very important thing that I explained to him is, I say the first thing you have to do is, if you know that your life has become so complicated, so messy, and so muddled up, is because of your past. Understand not? And past is really gone. You cannot change. Don't worry about it. Everybody got their past. Before they had this understanding, they also commit a lot of nonsense. They also have a lot of karmic negativity. But how come they can turn around? We can turn around is because we understand that past is already gone. I am not going to worry about it or complain about it or blame anybody for it. It's a reality. Past. This moment onward is what I can do to improve my life. What am I doing? If I need to apologize, ask for repentance, forgiveness, I must do it. That's why the puja book at the back, yeah, is all there. So first thing first is, advise your loved one who is going through all this life situation or what, to understand that you have to ask for forgiveness, repentance, and vow not to repeat all this because of the law of karma. You reap what you sow. So the moment you start to keep your precept, you already cultivate virtue, goodness. When you are incapable of negativity, you are incapable of harming people, harming yourself. You are incapable of violence. You don't add to the negativity of thought process, which is polluting the consciousness. You have already become a great help to the planet, to our earth, planetary consciousness. So even to avoid all evil is already a blessing, because you are not contributing more. You are already starting the transformation and the purification process. And the moment you ask for forgiveness, repentance, and vow not to repeat all this, you take the next step to follow the advice of the Buddha from now onward, to change your life, to transform your approach to life. That instead of creating all this suffering, not only for yourself, when you are miserable, you hit out at people, you have the evil root, you make other people miserable, you make your loved one worry for you. Then when they are like you, also fellow human beings, they also have their feeling, their emotion, they will also be affected by you. So why not, when you start to have this understanding, when you start to develop the change in you, when you turn around and become more beautiful, more understanding, more loving, less problematic, more caring, your loved one will be the first to be very happy. They will jump for joy. And when they see you turn around, they will really, really be happy. And they will come to you and talk to you and be very different towards you. And they want to know, how come over such a short period you can just become so beautiful? Because when you compare to the earlier way you live your life, now you experience love, you experience caring, you experience peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind, no more agitation, no more fear, worry, anxiety via wrong thought, projection and all those things. Then everything that arises, you can confront them with understanding. First, accept the reality. Whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions. So I don't want to blame anymore. I don't want to react anymore. I'm willing to accept this reality, be at peace, then develop the clarity of mind and ask myself, how can I resolve this amicably? And how do I act to resolve this amicably? And then, Noble Eightfold Path. Right view to accept this reality. If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. Then if I need to invoke the power of merits after I follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind, and to do whatever wholesomeness, to listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, rejoicing, then helping out in whatever activity, then make offerings to Triple Gem, make offerings to all those charitable organizations, yeah, or to whatever charity that is available that can bring about goodness to humanity, to help the suffering group. All these are very meritorious. And when you can really, really develop all these virtue and parami, it constitutes the 10 meritorious action. Even coming for puja, paying respect, doing offering dana, keeping your precept, these are all meritorious action. Then meditate, these are meritorious action. Then listening to Dhamma, straightening your view, rejoicing, transfer merit, share merits, and help out in whatever Buddhist activity or Kalyamita activity. All these are meritorious action. And you almost complete the 10 meritorious action. And with that, your merits become different. Your parami become very different. Then you can invoke the power of merits, like what I have put behind the puja book. The page 18, aspiration, you aspire. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind has developed since knowing the Dhamma, I aspire. By the power of these merits, I aspire for causes and conditions for me to always avoid the foolish, heedless, meet up with the wise and enlightened so that Nibbana can be realized. You can make it the first pure wish that you want. Then after that, you want to overcome your karmic problem. You can also use it to invoke by the power of whatever merits that I have cultivated since understanding this teaching. Since the day I decided to follow the advice of the Buddha until now, may arise the causes and conditions for me to overcome all my karmic obstruction, karmic negativity, so that I can gain back my life, so that I can have clarity of mind to meditate. Then you look through the puja aspiration, determine strongly to have all those qualities, so that you can progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you can make further aspiration or invocation or affirmation through merits. And this will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you can see how your life changed, how you transform beautifully. From a heedless person with all the karmic negativity, suffering and misery. And I call that playing the game of suffering. In Mandarin, one tong ku de you see. So like I told Brother Chi, are you not tired of this game of suffering that you have been playing for so long? If you are tired, better wake up. Change. It's not too late. The moment you change, you will see the light. You will start to experience the fruition of change. Because this is a nature's law. It will shine forth. The moment you understand, your life becomes very different. Your mind state becomes very different. From a negativity, deluded mind state, full of negative thoughts, suffering, misery, the lack of virtue, you can overnight transform and become such a beautiful person with a lot of kindness, goodness, understanding, virtue, no more negativity. Because you are serious about life. Like I always said, we hold the key to our own life destiny. True or not? Yeah? Your life destiny depends on you, isn't it? To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable depends on you, isn't it? Where you have a choice. You can make the right decision. If you choose to be happy, peaceful, loving, caring, beautiful, you can be. But if you choose to remain heedless, then you continue to do what you do. And you check whether you are happy or not. Because the way of delusion is the way to suffering. Yeah. If you want to continue to play the game of suffering, then don't change. No need to strive on the heedfulness and develop the meditation and the understanding of this teaching. You just live your normal life. You will fall back into the old way very easily. And you have experienced this way of living long enough. And you can come to a clear awakening that this is leading you nowhere and making you worse and worse, more and more miserable. more and more afflicted. Why won't you give yourself a chance by just following the advice of the Buddha to change over for the better? Then you can see the beautiful transformation in you. And from that transformation, you will start to see the fruition of it. The fruition of it is even more beautiful. The moment you transform, you will see the effect coming back to you. You will reap the beautiful fruition of all your goodness, your kindness. And you must understand how this can happen. Because in the past, when you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, negative thought, you set the base for negative karma to come. Because your law of karma through your past life, there's a lot of coming negativity, unending, keep on coming. Not until you change, you start to develop the understanding to transform yourself. Then you have less and less of this negativity of thought process, action and speech. Then you have more and more goodness, virtue, kindness, wholesomeness, pleasantness. Then this will set the base for goodness to arise. That's how it can create the transformation. Then when you start to avoid all evil, do good, keep the precepts, develop the virtue, arise the four right effort. The four right effort are very important. I just go through it quickly. The first two right effort is to deal with wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, the Buddha said. When you are mindful, when you can see that this wrong thought has arisen, means the thought that has the selfishness, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Hatred means you are trying to become emotional already. You are getting angry, violent already. Or there is this craving, desire to want things your way. Then delusion is there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow. These are all delusion. So the three evil roots, the moment you see them, these are all wrong thoughts. The root of all evil, make you evil. What must you do? You must abandon them. How to abandon them? The Buddha taught five ways we have gone through at the retreat. First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That's why you must cultivate more and more goodness, virtue, to counter all this wrong thought. If you have a lot of anger, you must develop loving kindness. That's why you have to wish not only yourself, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger and all those things. You have to extend this metta and love to others. When you have love, you cannot have anger, you cannot have violence. Then when there is cruelty in you, you must develop compassion. You must be very compassionate to help people, to care for people, to develop all of the love that you can arise to help people. Then the other thing is contentment. When you have a lot of craving, desire, lust, you must develop the virtue of contentment to counter it. And the other one is equanimity. Equanimity needs wisdom, understanding. Yeah. So all this is skillful means, but they are still thought-based. So when you think of the direct opposite, it will help you to overcome to a certain extent. But a better, more effective way, the Buddha said, is to think of the consequence or danger of allowing this negative tendency, which is the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action from arising. Where they are evil root, root of all evil, create karmic negativity, bring about downfall to your karmic nature, bring about suffering when the fruition of it comes about. So when you think of the consequence of holding on to these evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, especially anger, violence, delusion, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamenting, you have to root it out. Because these are evil root. Root of all evil. Make you evil. and make you miserable. So this is the first thing you have to do. When you reflect and contemplate and tell yourself, I don't want to end up this way. Because there is this law of karma. You reap what you sow. I will never go that way. I will never allow my mind to have all this negativity of thought process. These are evil, root of all evil. Make me evil. Cause my coming nature to fall. Make my life miserable. I determine to walk out of it. I determine to keep the precept. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Not to do all this anymore. Then to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. All this. And this is how you will transform. Yeah. Then learn to meditate. Purify your mind. The third way is to meditate. Silent, relax. Then all of your fear, your anger, your selfishness, your lust, your craving, they will cease to be. You don't have to do anything. Yeah, your original mind state is peacefulness, calmness, stillness. All this wrong thought, the fear, the anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, they are not part of your nature. They are not intrinsic within your mind. They are conditioned arising mental state, born of wrong view, delusion, self-delusion. So when you start to understand all this, meditation becomes very easy, relaxed, silent, aware. Then you will cease to be. Then you will have peace. And true peace, when it dawns upon you, your mind becomes beautiful. Then that peace is very, very beautiful. Because it's not easy to have peace for the normal human being. So when you can meditate, peace is very easy. Every moment there is peace, there is joy, there is happiness, there is calmness, coolness of heart. And there is clarity. Then you can see things clearly. You can make better decisions in life. Then you are more sensitive. You can have more awareness, mindfulness, to feel for people, to feel for the world, to feel for the planet, the consciousness. And this is how you develop love, loving kindness, compassion. And you can be a great blessing to all of humanity when this unfolds. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. This is meditation. You meditate on the 6 internal sense bases and the 6 external sense bases. This one later on you can learn. Then the fifth way is not important. You read it out in the Heart Sutta book. The Buddha said if all this cannot help, you have to determine through your own willpower to break all this. Because your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. So if you choose to be happy, you will be really happy. So life is really that simple. So with this, maybe we can end for Q&A. What's the time? Oh, still got 8 minutes. Do you have any question? So basically, this cover the important aspect of understanding life, especially the first noble truth, the reality of life existence. If you accept that as reality, then there is no such thing as problem. Then you can move. And to move is very easy. Yeah. Don't arise any wrong thought, because you already have the understanding. You don't blame anybody. You don't get agitated anymore. You can straight away accept that reality, then calm yourself down, then with a clear mind, investigate and inquire. How can I resolve all this amicably so that I can move on with my life, so that I can develop more goodness, kindness, sincerity, honesty, understanding? Then how can I develop all the Noble Eightfold Path factor? To be a more virtuous person with all the gentleness, pleasantness, kindness and goodness in you. The contentment, the love, the compassion, the sincerity, the generosity. All this virtue you will start to develop. Then you will start to have this ability to feel for people and to help people. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. When you have the Dhamma, you have virtue. You will have less and less of all this heedless thinking. Less and less of this evil root. Because you are more mindful. Then you continuously purify through your four right effort. The four right effort, the second one I didn't complete it. First one is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action and wrong livelihood that has a reason. Using the five ways. Then second one is to prevent them from arising. When you have developed this understanding, you can prevent it from arising. Like an angry thought, a selfish thought, or a fearful thought. You can straight away prevent it from arising. Because you know this is evil, lead to negativity, lead to downfall. Straight away it will cease. Because you have developed a new way of living life, a more heedful way. You are no longer heedless. That's why all this delusion, they have no power over your transformed mind that has the understanding, and you will not succumb to it anymore. Then after that, the last two right effort, third and fourth, is the most important. The third right effort is to cultivate whatever right thought, virtue, goodness, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. Develop them more and more, more and more, more and more, so that you become beautiful. Yeah. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action that you have developed. Then perfect them until they become a part of you, until it becomes your nature. And your nature, when it has this goodness, kindness and understanding, you will be the most beautiful living being. Means you hold the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path Factor. Can follow on? Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Okay. Maybe 5 more minutes. Any question so far? Any part that you need further explanation or elaboration? Yeah. Hui Rong? You are? 没有. Yeah, 拿那个 mic. Yeah.
刚刚提到那个 preset.
啊, 对.
让我想起, 我的工作是跟我的老公在一起.
啊,
然后, okay. 会有一些意见的不同
啊,
那比方说,
very common, very common,
比方说, 他有一些决定, 让人家觉得很, 别人可能会觉得很可笑, 可是我觉得,
啊,
我觉得那个是我很, 可以跟他一起合作下去的, 的原因, 比方说,
啊,
我们是卖软体的,
yeah,
那, 有很多什么 nightclub 啦 pub 啊,
啊,
那种其实利润非常的高
对对对
可是我的老公
啊,
他只有一个 intention
啊,
他不希望他的员工去那么复杂的地方对对对对 所以 就算那个 salesman 讲的天花乱坠 啊, 他就是跟他说 no
啊,
因为我不想熬夜
yeah,
我也不希望我的员工熬夜 yeah,
yeah, yeah.
我不希望去那么复杂的地方 所以我也不希望我的员工去那 可是很多人会觉得他很傻
那可是 不用紧的 那个是很多人 with the greed for profit
那我觉得 因为我不是出去做sales的人
对,
我其实没有太大的感受 那我只是很尊重他，一直到他有一个project在越南，那个是一个饲料厂，猪的饲料。刚开始他还做得很高兴，可是后来他整个推掉。
什么原因？
你知道为什么？因为饲料里面会乱掺东西。
怪不得。
会掺禁药。他觉得那是养猪。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
虽然一定要有人做那个事情嘛，是
我知道，
可是他觉得
他不应该，
他觉得心里不安，
yeah, 不安，不应该。
所以变成到后来，其实我们有很多工作，只要我们觉得心里不安的
啊，就不要做啊。
那你会觉得，其实你的环境会越来越单纯，
对，
然后你不会有心里不安的感觉。
Yeah, very important.
所以我觉得。
啊，
虽然他会让人家觉得他很傻，可是我觉得
他是有智慧啊，因为那个因果的 effect 啊 ，very severe， very severe。
可是人家会说，那个杀猪的不是你啊，你只是去帮他 implement 守卫罢了嘛。那为什么这个跟你无关？而且你不做，还有很多人要做。
Yeah， so in life。很多这些东西，
对，
very good,
所以你会觉得好像似是而非，可是我不管啦，我只听我心里的话。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 因为他有他的 boss， that's why he understands.
我只管我是不是做得下去。其实我一直觉得，为什么要有 five precept？ 因为那个东西在我的生活，那本来就是基本的道理。
对，
所以。我觉得那个是应该的。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The five precepts is very important.、
所以我觉得，虽然我们没有赚大钱，可是我觉得
不要紧。
可是我们觉得很踏实。
Not only 踏实 ，the more important thing is, you off. I explain. I think what Hui Rong brought out was very beautiful. Is that we talk about five precepts and all those things, but when it comes to business, because She is having this, 你老公的公司来的是吧？还是你们两个人的？哦，两个人的 ，OK. The as a husband and wife, they have a business. 你的 business 是什么 ？In English, software. They implement software to help people in business and all things. But his husband got a very good understanding of the law of karma.Regarding right living， 我知道，因为他心不安，就是前世修来的。Yeah, he don't feel good. There is no peace in the mind when he comes to know that these people using his software is using it for activity that are not so proper. Understand? Like she say for nightclub and other thing, even though it's good money, is it? But To people who don't understand, they may think that the husband is very stupid. Such good business, good margin, you don't want to do. What's wrong? You only implement software. What they do is up to them. See, sometimes there can be logic there. But when you understand, it's different because he has this from the past. He must have seen the coming effect before. Understand? Sometimes people abuse your thing, and use it for that.Then it's another matter, understand not? Because this one is they go and make use of your software and do without you knowing. But knowingly that they are doing this, you shouldn't get involved, it's correct, understand not? Then like the Vietnam project, very big project, he just cut it off because he knows that they are using his software to actually add in a lot of, don't know, I think must be chemical or medication, Like they call it what the growth hormone, where you feed them or inject in, they grow very fast. Like the chicken, instead of 3 months, 21 day full chicken. So all this is they call it what there's a scientific name, what in US leading to mutation on what they call it already, huh?GMO, stand for what? Genetically modified, organic, what? O for stand for what? Genetically modified what?
不是对，但是我有个问题就是，要在这个现实的社会里面生存下去，不是每个人可以选择。
Correct.
但是。
You're right.
比方说了哈，比方说，比方说， accountant
啊，
虽然我没有做过 accountant， 可是我做过账
啊。这边 有几个 accountant。
如果你的 customer 说我要逃税哦，你帮我逃税
啊 ，very good question，
你教我逃税。
That one I will answer you. Well, I understand that very well. There is a big difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. So avoidance is not illegal. Evasion is illegal. Don't evade tax. But if you understand the tax structure, then you can avoid through the understanding. Nothing wrong.You are not cheating. You are not deceiving. You just avoid tax because the company, the Income Tax Act, they always have this, what they call, every budget, they come up with incentive and honest thing. So sometimes this incentive can favor certain group of high income people. So if they know how to plan their tax submission,then they can save a lot of tax. 正确的方法啊，不要去逃税。逃税因为 evasion. Evasion, I tell you, not only coming, you know, even in real life when they caught you, the penalty is very high. They can go back, how many years? 10 years or what? No, they can fine you 12 years. They can fine you and it's pretty serious.There are a lot of business people. They have to sort out with income tax. I think the last 10 years, or more than 10 years, I think, the last almost 17 years already, I think, since they come out with self-assessment, you remember? Yeah. Then Mahathir give you a tax holiday the year 2000, remember? The year 2000? A lot of people...put in their income in the year 2000. All kena. They come and rate you. They audit your file. Then they really make life difficult for you. A lot of listed company kena nowadays. They find it very convenient to just put it in. So has to save tax. It was a tax holiday. But then you must have all the documentary proof and all those things. So a lot are. They get into trouble. Then they threaten the MD one. If you still want to argue, they come after your personal tax. So all the MD panic. Well, when they dig your personal one, I tell you. So they finally settle with them. And they got runner to help them to settle and all those things. So tax is a very, very complicated department. But if you have good tax consultant, I think it helps. It helps.They can advise you. But they also will not put their company into unnecessary risk because they can be deregistered, the company. And their license also can be, I think, I don't know. What happened to their license, Yin-chan? If the tax consultant tried to evade tax,help the client to evade tax. Yeah? Suspended or what? Never mind. Not important. Anyway, if you don't get into such situation, then you will not have such problem. I got a classmate who is very good. In a way, I think he is very wise. You all know him, some of you, Sam.He said, why people still want to evade tax and avoid tax? He said, I'm very happy to pay tax. You know why? A lot of people want to pay but cannot pay. Because they don't have that type of income. You got that type of income, you're somehow worried about paying tax. He said, it's a funny world. Is it? True or not? If I can pay tax, means I can make a lot of money. I happily pay. But of course, if I can save on paying tax,I will save also, understand or not? But the logic is, if you can make the money, you should pay. And this tax money is supposed to serve the government to actually generate growth and to help the poor and to come out with a lot of the, what they call social obligation. like building a school, hospital, and all those things. You need to have tax revenue and money. Otherwise, your country cannot. All those things that you're supposed to provide for the people, you cannot, because you need tax money. Okay, we better end. Oh, 10 minutes, almost 9 minutes past. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully today sharing can help you and many other people. Then if you have any other good suggestion, maybe next Tuesday you can share and bring it up so that we can have this clear understanding of how to apply the teaching, the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha has taught us, to live life, to understand life, and to bring about a better world for our planet, even for our country. When you start to have the Dhamma, you will start to change. Then when you change, you will have condition to benefit the people around you and influence the people around you, your loved one and other things, or whoever you have relationship with. Then with that, they will also change. And through this, it will spin off a very, very noble shift in consciousness that can bring about great blessing to our planet, Mother Earth. Then we can really hit the new age. They call it the new age, the golden age. And I think it's coming with people like Jack Ma. He also do business. His first criteria is not profit. He mentioned it. If it's for the good of the planet, can bring about happiness, goodness, social contribution to the world, he will do. It's not about profit anymore. And he wants to establish through his merchandise, software and all those things. I think the Alipay, he is trying to weed off all the dishonest merchants, even supplier and all those things. He will take you out. Then even the purchaser, the whatever that if you are a bad paymaster with any of the rating problem, they will take you out. They will not even give you account. And this is self-regulating. It's like nature's law. But he implemented it in the software. And I like his approach. It's very beautiful. It's self-evolving, like Uber, taxi, and all those things. Then it trained the driver to be ethical and all those things. Trained the merchant to be honest, to be sincere. Yeah. You go and read his philosophy, it's very good. And he is really implementing in not only mega scale, global scale. And his Alipay is now, I think, the biggest, you call it what? Electronic transaction. Yeah. His system is very, very, very sophisticated. They use the big data. You heard of big data? Big data. They can actually know each and every individual. A lot of this big data can give them information. And with this, he uses it positively to help the world. That's why he is a real unique being. He actually contributed indirectly, without you knowing, towards the improvement of human consciousness. In years to come, you will understand what I say. And this is the new age that Eckhart Tolle was talking about, the new earth. And the consciousness evolution is moving towards that direction. My nature can feel. And we are going to have a beautiful planet. So you all still got at least 20, 30 years of good life. For me, maybe 20, hopefully. Then Chin Hao got 40, 50. Wow, golden age. Me also still got 50, yeah. You are still young. Yeah. How old are you? Why are you 40 already? I thought you were 30. Okay, better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us do a quick one. Sharing on merits of the day. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. Itta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo imina punyang kamena Mame balo samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nirvana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones, then we end.